It's true, God will always make a way where there is no way. But we need to be careful, because he doesn't do things the way we think he should do things, or that he will do them in a way that we think. His ways are different, that's for sure. As scripture tells us, from Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." He doesn't do things the way we would do things. He doesn't think the way we think. Human logic cannot determine the will of God. Human logic cannot explain God, or the way he does things, or why he does things the way he does. His ways are so different, and his thoughts so different from ours. Our minds just cannot comprehend. But because of that, because his ways are so different, sometimes we see the strangest things. Here's one of them. This is from Matthew. "When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, 'Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?' He said, 'Yes.' And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, 'What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers?' Peter said to him, 'From strangers.' Jesus said to him, 'Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you.'" Peter was a fisherman all his life up to that point in time. I bet you he had never experienced anything like that. I used to do fishing a lot when I lived in Jersey. I grew up there. I used to go to the shore all the time fishing. I never caught a fish with a coin in its mouth. I mean, they had a money bag, a purse or whatever that one of them carried for various expenses and everything. Jesus could have said, "Well, take one of those coins," but he didn't. He could have said, "You know, go pick up that rock or something, and there's a coin under it." He didn't do that either. Did something very unusual. Told Peter, who was a fisherman, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. Open its mouth, and you'll find a coin in it. I'll bet you that has never, ever happened before. Can you imagine Peter's reaction to that when Jesus told him that? In our humanness and our understanding, the way we think and everything, we say, "What are you, crazy? You want me to do what?" But he did it anyway, because it was Jesus telling him to do it. And he went, he caught the fish, opened its mouth, and there was the coin. Why a fish which had a coin in its mouth, probably blocking its ability to eat anything, would come up and take a bite on a baited hook, I don't know. But then again, God doesn't do things the way we would do things. I'm sure Peter learned a valuable lesson then. God does things sometimes in strange ways. But you have to be obedient. You have to trust him. Peter learned that. Next. This is from 2 Kings. "And the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, 'See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell.' So he answered, 'Go.' Then one said, 'Please consent to go with your servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.' So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.' So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore he said, "Pick it up for yourself." So he reached out his hand and took it. Any of you ever see iron float? No. There's an axe head. This poor guy using a borrowed axe, and the head falls off. He must have felt terrible. He says to Elisha, "Help!" Elisha says, "Where did it fall in the water?" So he showed him. He cuts off a stick, throws it in the water, and miraculously, the iron axe head floats. God does do things in strange ways. You would think that maybe they would have jumped in the water, fished around, tried to feel for it or something. But no. No. It all happened for a reason. I'm sure God had the iron axe head fall off on purpose, just so Elisha could throw in that stick and make it float. I'm sure they learned a big lesson then too about how God does things. You can't put him in a box. He does things in strange ways. Lots of times. Here, next one. This is from Exodus. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah, which in Hebrew means bitter. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. What do I do, Lord? What do I do? People are, you know, upset with me. The Lord says, "Take a look at that tree over there. It must have been a small tree, a sapling or something, maybe." So he picks it up, throws it in the water, and suddenly they can drink it. Do you think there were some medicinal properties in that tree? No. Just an ordinary tree. But God did a miraculous thing with that tree because Moses obeyed him. It's another strange thing that God did. Have you ever heard of that? You see these commercials on TV that these lawyers put out, remember, for Camp Lejeune in North Carolina, because the waters were contaminated and a lot of people developed sickness and everything. It would have been nice maybe if the Lord showed maybe the commandant of the Marine Corps a nice tree to throw in the water. Would have saved a lot of lives, maybe. I've never heard of anything like that before, but there it is in the Bible. It's true. God did that. Another one of the strangest things that we see. This is from Acts. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of them. God did unusual miracles. To me, any miracle is unusual because it's a miracle by definition. But yet, God did even more unusual ones at the hand of Paul. A handkerchief or an apron or something that Paul touched or wore or had on his person was taken to the sick and they were automatically healed or the evil spirits cast out. Amazing. But strange, right? Boy, our modern day doctors could sure use something like that. Wish I knew where to get some of those. Maybe God will supply some here someday, who knows? But you never know. Can anybody think of another strange thing in the Bible? There's lots of stories in the Bible about strange things that God did. Can anybody think of one? I know, I'm putting you on the spot. It's always hard when somebody throws something at you like that. You can't think. But then after you leave the service, you say, oh, darn. I can give you a few others. Remember when, I don't have the scriptures for it because it's too long and everything. The Israelites are going through the wilderness. There was no water at all. Couldn't find any water. What did God tell Moses to do?
Strike
the rock. Yeah. Yeah, God showed him a rock. Said, take your staff. Hit the rock. We're not talking about a rock. We're talking about a rock. Hit it with your staff. And he did. Water gushed out. Have you ever seen anybody hit a rock with a staff and the rock splits and water comes gushing out? Strange thing. That's one thing. There was another thing. There was, did you ever hear of Naaman? He was a Syrian. He was a commander of the army, but he had leprosy. And during one of their raiding parties at one time, an Israelite girl was captured and became his servant. And I guess he treated her well, because at one point she said, oh, if only my master, meaning Naaman, could see Elisha the prophet, he could be healed of his leprosy. Well, to make a long story short, his king allows him to go to Israel, and they find Elisha. Elisha doesn't even come out to meet him. He sends his servant out and says, go dip into Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. He goes away furious, because he expected the prophet to come out and do something. Maybe say something over him, maybe perform some ritual or something. But instead he just sends him by word of his servant to go into Jordan. And he said, And I don't know if any of you know much about the Jordan, but it's a very muddy river. It's not the cleanest one in the world. So Naaman says, aren't the rivers in my country much better? You know, they're cleaner and everything. But a wise servant of his said, listen, if he had told you to do something extraordinary, wouldn't you have done it? How much more now? He simply says to you, go and dip into Jordan 7 times. So he came to his senses and said, yeah, you know, you're right. So he went to the Jordan, dipped in it 7 times, and the 7th time he came up clean, healed from his leprosy. That's another strange thing. There's a lot of people that go into Jordan. I haven't heard of any other one being healed of leprosy. God does strange things in strange ways. What about the Battle of Jericho? There's an interesting tactic. You march around the city for 7 days, and then the 7th day you march around it 7 times, and you just shout. What an interesting way to have a battle, right? But yet the walls came tumbling down. They didn't break apart or anything to create rubble. They just simply went, fell down flat. Amazing, but strange. Strange. Yeah, there was another one too, similar. When the Israelites finally came, after the 40 years in the wilderness, finally came to the Jordan to cross over into the promised land, Moses told the priests that were carrying the Ark of the Covenant to go ahead of them and to step into the Jordan River. Well, the Jordan River was overflowing its banks at that time, so it wasn't like you step off the edge and you fall in, you know, so many feet or whatever. That had overflowed, so there were shallow parts. But the interesting thing is, as soon as the feet of the priests touched the water, the Jordan River parted. And it was a heap up here, and the other part just went downstream, and they crossed over on dry land. Wish I could do that. A simple thing, but yet strange. And there are many other instances in the Bible, and I would encourage you to do a little searching. But why does God do things like that? Why does he do some of the strangest things? I think there are several reasons for that. One is to show how great he is, how wonderful he is, and in fact that, yes, his ways and his thoughts are so much higher than ours. And we need to understand that. But I think there are other reasons too. It's a test of our faith. What if he told you to do something strange? Something different, out of the ordinary. What would your reaction be? Oh, that's not God. He would never tell me to do that. Well, that's impossible. It's crazy. Right? That would be our reaction, wouldn't it? Probably. Maybe that's one reason why we don't hear him say things like that to us, because of what our reaction would be. But what about our faith? We know that God does miracles. We've read about it in the Bible so many times. We've heard stories of miracles in this day and age. We've experienced some things ourselves here that we would consider minor miracles. What if God told us to do something different, out of the ordinary? Might he be testing our faith to believe that he can do it, or that he will do it, whatever it is? It's also a test of our obedience. Remember the hymn, Trust and Obey? Mm-hmm. We sing it, but do we live it? That's the question. Do we live it? Do we trust and obey? If we did, I think we'd see a lot of things like this happen in our lives and in our church. I think God is just waiting for us to express our faith, our trust in him. Maybe in little things, but in the little things, then they grow into the bigger things. I pray that God would talk to at least some of us and give us something unusual to do, so that we can express our faith and our trust in him and our obedience. You gotta start someplace. Do we want to see things like this happen? Maybe not the exact same things, but do we want to see miracles happen? Unusual miracles, even like what happened at the hand of Paul. I think we'd all love to see things like that, wouldn't we? I know I would. I'm eager to see things like that. But maybe I'm not quite there yet. Or I can trust him enough, or believe him enough, or obey him readily. That's why I'm trying to do better at that. Take him at his word. And when he tells me to do something, even though it's strange, and I've had some experiences lately, minor things, where I'm in the middle of something and suddenly a thought comes into my mind and I know it's him to do something else. So I got to put down what I'm doing and go do what he wants me to do. And when he does it, I'm finding such a peace when I go ahead and do it. It may not be a big thing. It may not be a big thing at all. But the point is, am I trusting him and then obeying him? And I think that's a test. Say, okay, you were faithful in little things. You can now be faithful in bigger things. And you can see bigger things happen. And I think that's what he wants to do with all of us. So if the Lord puts something in your mind or in your heart, regardless of whether you're in the middle of something You know, even I've even had it happen to me in the middle of devotions. And what comes to mind at that moment, and I'm sure he's put that thought in my head, was there's a passage in Samuel where Samuel was talking to King Saul, who disobeyed the word of the Lord. And he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. You could be doing something for the Lord. It could be right in the middle of something, like I have experienced a couple of times in my devotions. I'm saying, hey, that's important. I got to spend time with the Lord. Whether it's reading the Bible or a devotional book or just praying, worshiping before him, that's important to do. But he says, obedience is better than sacrifice. That was my sacrifice, that devotional time. But obedience is better than that. So I said, okay, Lord. So I went and did what he wanted me to do. Didn't take long. Then I came back to finish my devotions. But I think you'll find that when you do what he wants you to do, there is just such a peace afterwards and a joy knowing that you heard your Father in heaven and you did what he wanted you to do and he's pleased with that. It's an amazing thing. But like I said, we got to start someplace. You want to see the big things? You got to start with the small things. So, God's ways are different. They are much higher than our ways. And I think that should be more the norm rather than the exception. God is a big God. And he's ready to do big things for us. And I think he wants them to be normal for us. I think he wants to bring us to that place where we're more accustomed to seeing his hand move mightily on our behalf. So, consider that. Search the Bible. Find other places where he did strange things. And then you'll come to realize that they're really not as strange as we originally thought. For him, they're commonplace. Maybe for us, they're a little strange. But he's trying to get us accustomed to his ways and get us out of our ways. So, a lot of food for thought there. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do indeed thank you that your ways are so much different than ours, because they are so much better. Help us, Lord. Help us to not look upon your working as strange, per se. Different, certainly, than our ways. But help us to understand, Lord, that this is just the way you do things. We don't need to understand the whys and wherefores, but we do need to recognize your voice and heed your call, obey your direction, and grow in our faith as a result of that. So, Father, I do ask you that you would give us some opportunities along these lines, and that we would, in future services, hear some testimony with respect to that. That we would learn more about your ways, Lord, and as a result become more and more like you. Because that is your plan, to conform us to the image of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.